I want to say that we have some wonderful guests with us today. As you know, Brother Frank Thornton is with us, and Brother Paul Reimel is with us, and Michael Hare is with us. And we thought about speaking about spiritual warfare, deliverance, etc. And I believe Brother Paul is going to start us out. Right, Brother Paul?
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
All right.
Just what you, Brother David, you know, about your thoughts and how demons can bring in thoughts into our mind. And where I'm fixing to start reading that is in Matthew chapter 15, 21. But just right above that, my eyes just went right down to it where it says in 18, but the things which go out of the man come forth out of the heart, and those defile the man. From out of the heart comes forth evil thoughts. And I thought, wow, there it is right there, you know. So we have to be careful what we listen to, because we can listen to somebody being critical. And as we're listening to that critical spirit that's coming forth through that person, if we don't shut it down, you know, and we don't dismiss it from our minds and don't receive it, well, it can get on us, you know. So we have to be very careful to what we listen to, and be discerning of what's being said and all that. You know, there's nothing wrong, really, if somebody starts being critical about a person or whatever, just to, you know, confront and say, hey, listen, we don't need to talk about this. If anything, we need to pray for that person and bring them to the throne of grace, you know, and let God deal with the person. And so I found out a lot of times when if somebody's critical, you know, usually hurting people always hurt people. And so if somebody's being critical and has a critical mouth, you know, and always been maligning people and saying evil things about people, guess what? Probably because that person's hurting, you know, and so hurting people always hurt other people. So. But you know, you can confront, you know, in love and just say, hey, we don't need to be talking about this. This is not of God, and we need to pray instead of condemn, you know, somebody. So I know the Lord has dealt with me, you know, in times past when I've done that, and where I've had to repent and to get things right. Because people like to talk. Let's face it. You get a bunch of people together, and what happens? People start talking. And then they can start out in the Lord. And then just a matter of minutes, they can start out in the flesh, start talking in the flesh, or being critical, or whatever, you know. And sometimes people think they have really a lot of discernment, but really they're being critical of that person, because maybe that person's not lining up like they are lining up and all that. And so we have to be very, very careful, because the Bible gives us all kinds of warnings. And we just need to stay with the Word of God. Even Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things and is exceedingly corrupt. So we're getting our minds renewed to the Word of God, and we need to make sure that we stay in the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to do what He needs to do, and submit to the Holy Spirit and to bring a change in our heart. Praise God, we're getting our souls saved through the washing and the watering of the Word and feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ. And yeah, Brother David, that was really a blessing what you were talking about. And also, you know, when you were reading William Fry's, I had just clicked on that before you started reading that, and I just wanted to see if there was anything was posted tonight, which is going along with what we're going to be ministering on tonight. So that was a confirmation. I said, praise God, redemption from demons. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we ought to be saying, let the redeem of the Lord say so. That should be coming from our heart, you know. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been redeemed from ourselves. You know, when we repented from our sins, you know, praise God, it was taken away through the precious blood of Jesus, and He took away. And we're taking on His nature, character, and authority. And it doesn't get any better than that. I just praise God. William Fry's testimony was kind of interesting, because I know that the Lord did something different for me. I really never heard anybody how the Lord dealt with me on some things. But when the Lord wanted me to go through some deeper deliverance with Him, You know, I went through the what everybody else probably went through, where you just, you know, read some books and, you know, got some different understanding about this spirit, that spirit, and clusters of spirits and all that kind of stuff. And but the Lord started waking me up at night, you know, and sometimes He'd give me a dream or something, you know, and He would show me something that I would need to deal with. And it was like sometimes like 2 o'clock in the morning or 1 o'clock in the morning, and then I'd get up and I would just repent, renounce, and deal with it. You know, it could have been a generational curse, it could have been a hereditary curse, or whatever, you know. And it may have been that I needed to forgive somebody, or God would bring back to remember something that happened in my life that I needed to deal with or to address, you know. And praise God, deliverance is the children's bread. And that's what the topic is tonight. And it's our bread. You know, healing is our bread. Deliverance is our bread. And that's what God's doing with our life. He's cleansing us. You know, He tells us to cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. So there's going to be demonic spirits that we need to deal with, you know. And the Lord kind of plunged me early on in life into the deliverance and healing type ministry very early on in my walk with Him. And it's really been a blessing, really, to see people get delivered from demons and healed, physical healings and all that. And praise God. I mean, when you really see that, and that's a promise of God right there. Deliverance is the children's bread. And the Lord brought me, brought me over here to Matthew 15:21. And so when I saw that redemption from demons, you know, I said, okay, here it is, Lord. You plunged me right into it, you know, and that's what the topic is all about anyway, where we get this. And it says, and Jesus went out thence and withdrew into the parts of Tyre and Sodom. And lo, a Canaanite woman came out from the borders and cried. Now listen to her heart. She cried, saying, have mercy on me, Lord. Well, she recognized who Jesus was. She called Him Lord, Son of David, and she knew his lineage, too. So obviously she heard about Jesus Christ. And she said, my daughter is grievously vexed with a demon, which means she's being demonized, you know. She's under the power of a demonic force, you know. But He answered her not a word. Whoa. You know, some people really could be offended in that, you know. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. Didn't even respond to her cry. And His disciples came and asked Him, saying, send her away. In other words, they were being irritated with her, too. Send her away. Well, you know what could fall into that is rejection, you know. And a lot of people battle with rejection. It's amazing to me, you know. I had the problem with rejection, and I know David Eales has a wonderful a testimony, and I would encourage anybody that battles with rejection to read that, because I read it more than once, and I really ministered to me, you know. There's a lot of people that also, may have not been brought up by their real parents, or maybe were brought up by parents that had adopted them, you know. I was adopted by my stepdad, so I understand some things. I had abandonment issues, you know. I can share what happened to me, you know, and I don't mind telling people this, because this is what happened. See, I wasn't raised in a Christian environment. I was raised by an atheist, but I didn't really know my mother was an atheist until after I got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then that's when it came out. But when I was in the world, I lived like the world, acted like the world, and fellowship with the world. I didn't know anything else. That's all I knew, you know. And so that's what I lived and breathed when I was in the world. I didn't know anything about, you know, I've heard about Jesus, but I didn't know. I really had nobody come and witness to me, and it wasn't time for me to be witnessed to. And God ordained a time and a place for me to be witnessed to, and it wasn't time yet. But I was out in California when all this took place, and when my real dad gave me up for adoption, I didn't really know him because my mother had married a guy in the Air Force, and we were being bounced around the country. I'm from Philadelphia. We moved down to Orlando, then out there in Fairfield, California, where the B-52s were. We went to visit my grandmother in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, which is kind of on the border of where the Amish people are up in Pennsylvania. And I got to see my dad one day. One day, And through that one day of seeing my real father, who I hadn't seen for many years, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years, he had promised me to go and to spend maybe the next summer with him for 2 or 3 months. And so I was so joyous, you know, and I was just rejoicing. But see, my mother did not want me to have a relationship with my real father. And so when we got back to California, I kept mentioning it, you know, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, guess what? I get adopted. And so my real father embraced the lie, which he should have come out there to find out, but he didn't. And so I was given up. And I was just maybe around 8 years old, and possibly nine. I don't remember exactly, but I think it was 8 years old. And I was laying on the bed, and I would get these pains in my chest. And I remember getting mad at God. Here's someone who's not saved, wasn't brought up in Christianity or nothing, you know. But I was cursing God from my heart, telling him how much I hate him, because I had such a pain in my heart being adopted, and I was being forced and backed into a situation that there's nothing I could do about it, you know. And I was being coerced into a situation that I didn't want to do, but it happened. I was forced into it, me and my sister was, and all that. So here we go. Here's the rejection and abandonment. And it just happened that my real father, you know, I mean, excuse me, my stepfather never knew who his parents were. So he was adopted as a child, never knowing who his real parents were. So he was an alcoholic. He was in the Air Force, and a lot of people seemed to fall into alcoholism, and he was always going to the bars. There was no relationship between me and him. And so I never really had a father's relationship until many years later, you know, where the Lord brought so much deliverance in my life and brought inner healing into my life. And matter of fact, I'd like to just jump over to, I'm going to come back to Matthew, but I'd like to jump over here to Luke chapter 4, verse 16, where it says, and Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he entered, and his custom was into the synagogue on the day of the Sabbath, and stood up to read. And he was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he opened the scroll and found the place where it was written, Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. It says, and the Lord's Spirit, and this is Jesus talking, the Lord's Spirit is upon me, because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Well, that means salvation. Well, praise God, I understood that when I got saved, that I got saved, you know. I received salvation from my Lord. Then it says, has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. That's deliverance. Praise God. Hallelujah. Setting the captives free from the bondage of what? Sin. Praise God. And the sight to the blind, which represents healing. To set free the bruised, that's inner healing, and to proclaim the Lord's acceptable year of favor. Well, for many years, because I was under a message for a while, I didn't really believe in inner healing until I really saw this in the Word of God, and it just really brought, because I needed some healing. I needed some inner healing in my heart. I need some inner healing in my mind, too, you know. And so so the Lord changed my life, you know, and I started as I saw that promise right there, what the Lord did back then, and he's still doing today, he's bringing salvation to the lost. He's bringing deliverance to us, which is deliverance of the children's bread. He's bringing us healing. By his stripes, we are already healed. He's bringing those who've been damaged, you know, as children or even adults, you know. He's bringing healing into our hearts. And praise God, to proclaim the Lord's acceptable year. He's bringing favor into our life. And I've seen the Lord bring a lot of favor into my life. But to go back to the daughter, you know, she said, my daughter is grievous, vexed with a demon. She's being demonized. But he answered her not a word, and his disciple came and asked him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. So they got irritated and all that. And I just want to encourage people that battle with abandonment or rejection, praise God, just give it to the Lord. That's what I did. I gave it to the Lord. I let go and let God. I said, Lord, you're the one that has to do the work in my heart, you know. I remember laying on the bed early one morning, and I remember a spirit leaving me, and I knew the spirit, what spirit what it was. And it just really set me free from a lot of things, you know. And see, deliverance is the children's bread, and that's what God wants to do. And he'll direct you in your life when you're ready for some things, and that's what he did through a process with me. Well, obviously, he knew when I was ready for some things, so he would wake me up, and then he would deal with me on this and deal with me on that. I remember when a spirit of jealousy came out of me, you know, and that changed my whole life, too. It was just like, wow, it was such a bondage, and God showed me when that came into my life, and I was so appreciative so I could repent of that, of what I did, you know, and get things right and renounce it and break the generational curses, because there was things that generational curses that were coming down from my family from generation to generation, and there were some things that skipped some generations that came on me, you know, because of our family, basically on my mother's side and my dad's side, rejecting the Lord and falling into like secret societies and all that kind of stuff, and which I didn't know anything about until later, you know, and once I got the knowledge of that, I was able to break correctly some generational curses in that area too, and so God really set me free from a lot of things, you know, down through a process of time, and so those who battle with rejection, abandon, just give it to the Lord, you know, and the Bible is real plain about in James, it says, if you confess your faults with one another and pray for one another, you shall be what? Healed. And God will bring healing. And I did that with some things that I was embarrassed of, to be honest with you. And some things that I fell into as a teenager, you know, that I shouldn't have fallen into. And I was into drugs, and I fell into sexual impurity and all that kind of junk. And so I just praise God for his mercy and his grace. And after I received him, you know, he started taking me down that road, you know. And I wanted to be delivered. I didn't know how to get delivered in some things, but I wanted to be delivered. I wanted to change mind. I wanted a changed heart, and I was pressing in for that. And there were some things I got delivered real quick, but there were some things that I had to really press in by faith. You know, he says in his word to have God's faith. Now we do have God's faith because God even gave us the Holy Spirit, and one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is faith. And God has given us a measure of faith, and we have his faith. And we're pressing in to be what? Sons and daughters of God. Amen. We're pressing in for sonship. Not just, staying in star glory and moon glory, but we're pressing in to become sons and daughters, because that's the groaning. I mean, the creation is groaning for the manifested sons of God, you know. And so we're pressing in by faith. And I would encourage any of you, if you have aught against one another, forgive that person quickly. Don't stew on that. Don't spend a lot of time on that. But because we're all, God is cleaning us up through the washing and the watering of the Word. It's not time. We ain't got a whole lot of time to have aught against a brother or malign a brother or sister or have unforgiveness and resentment and bitterness. If that's is plaguing your mind, repent while you still can. Repent from your heart, not just your head, but repent from your heart and get things right quickly. Because even this girl right here, and I'm saying all this because I really got a lot out of this, because listen to this girl's heart, the mother. She was pressing in with all that she had, all the faith that she had. And she wasn't going to take no for an answer. And I really like that. That's pretty cool. And even when the disciples were being irritated with her, she still kept pressing in. And he says right here, and he said, let's see, and his disciples came and asked him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But listen to her. But she came, this is coming from the heart, but she came and worshipped him, saying, now listen to what she's saying, Lord. She recognized him as being Lord, help me. Praise God. You see the cry of her heart? Help me. There's been times when I was really struggling with things, And that's what I would say. I'd say, help me, Lord. I need your help. I can't do this on my own. Only you can do this through your Son. And I, help me, Father. I need your help. See, that was the cry of her heart. Help me. And he answered. Now listen to what Jesus said. When she said, help me, he answered and said, it is not good to take the bread of the children and cast it to dogs. Now, she could have been wasted right there. She could have just gave up and turned around and went back home. But she didn't, because she came back after he even said that. Listen to what she said. She said, yeah, Lord, for even the dogs. You know, we're all filthy rags when we come to the Lord. But praise God for his mercy and grace on our lives, you know, that he granted us the gift of repentance and gave us the faith to believe the gospel. But none of us were anything before him. We could have been a rocket scientist. We could have been the number one movie star out there. We could be the most intelligent person in the world. That's nothing to God, because he's the one that gives that to us, you know. He gives us gifts. But she pressed in, praise God. She even saw herself, and she was still pressing in by faith. And she said, Lord, for even the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the table of their master. Then Jesus answered and said to her, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it done unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was healed from that hour. We should never give up. Never, never, never give up. Even though you may not feel healed, you may not feel delivered, but don't give up. Just keep pressing in. Consider it done. When you claim the promise of God, because the promise of God is for you, and it's yes and amen. It's for you. All the promises of God are yes and amen for us. And so we need to press in by faith. Praise God. We got it. Confess it. Believe it. You know, confession brings possession, you know, by faith. Calling those things which are not as though they were. Your faith is your substance. You know, so we just press in by faith. And God has given. He wants us to have his faith. Some translations say have faith in God. But have God's faith. We have God's faith in us. Amen. Praise God. So just like Jesus only did what he saw the Father do, that's what we're going to do. We're going to only see what we see Jesus do. We see it in a pattern in the Word of God, you know. He went about doing good and healing all manner of sickness and disease that were in people's lives. He was setting them free. He said, those who believe in my name, they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They're spirit-filled. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If you drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt you. And the Lord working with you, the signs following. Who's doing the work? It's the Lord, by his Spirit, through you, doing the work. We're an extension of his arm. We're his hand, you know. That's the reason why he says, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Casting out demons with our word, you know. Praise God. And over here in Acts, let's see, chapter 10:38, it says, Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So God is with us when we're out there, you know, or just with our neighbors or out there just round about with people and all that. God is with us. He's empowered us to go out and do good works, to pray for the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead. You know, freely we have received, freely give. And so God's empowered us to do his works. And we have much work to do, because there's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of sheep out there that have not responded to the word, because as we go, see, God's setting things up. I was just talking to a brother and a couple of brothers today, you know, and we were just talking back and forth, and I've learned, you know, over time. I didn't know this up front, but God took me where I was at that moment, but in the mindset that I was in at that time and how I was taught, but how the Lord will send us out. And it doesn't mean that, you know, you just have to go and talk to everybody. And God will set things up, you know, because, see, God knows who's hurting out there. And you don't. I just heard a brother's testimony just the other day, you know, where he was just roundabout and just God put it on his heart to say something to this woman, and come to find out the woman had bad hips, and guess what? They prayed for her to get healed and all that. So we have something to give, you know, and God's cleaning us up. He's cleansing us from all defilement of flesh and spirit, and he gives us instructions to come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. You know, the Lord set some conditions for us to be sons and daughters, you know. We're getting a renewed mind. We're coming into agreement with the Word of God. And we're, as we're feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ, out of our belly, see, it's going to flow rivers of living water to the lost and to other brothers and sisters in the Lord, you know. And we have something to say, you know. God has given us words to say. He's writing the Word of God on our hearts and also our minds, you know. And so God knows when He saved us, He had a work to do in our life. And so as we submit to the potter's hand, He's molding us and shaping us as vessels of honor. But out of that same mold, we could also be vessels of dishonor. So we need to choose life and not choose death. And if we have rejection or unforgiveness or anything like that in our heart towards anybody, we really need to repent and get that out of our heart, because it's not worth it. It's not worth it to allow the enemy, because you'll pay the consequences on that, you know. You'll reap the corruption if you stay in that setting, you know, where you have unforgiveness or bitterness or rejection, allowing rejection to bring you down all the time and all that. So when these thoughts come into our minds, you know, one thing the Lord started doing with me not too long ago, just quote the Word of God. It is written, just like Jesus. That's how he dealt with the devil. He just said, it is written. I would say the peace of God that passes all understanding is guarding my heart and my thoughts in Christ Jesus. And immediately the thought will go. Let's say it's persistent. Well, come back to it again. In Jesus' name, my thoughts and my heart are being guarded by the peace of God, because Jesus is my peace and my joy. And I don't receive that in Jesus' name. See, we take authority over that in the name of Jesus, because God has given us the authority to speak His Word. And which is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So we can speak the Word of God. Praise God. We can speak the promises of God, and they're yes and amen to us. And so we got it all in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the Word of God, and we're speaking His words. And God will back that up as we're speaking it in faith. It's by His grace through faith. And so as we speak the Word of God, and He even tells us the just shall live by faith. So we're going to be walking by faith daily. That's the reason why we have to deny that self and pick up our cross, and we're dying daily. Amen. The old man has already been crucified with Christ. It's not us that live anymore. It's Christ living in us. Praise God. And over here, I'm going to close with this. Colossians 1:22, it says, yet now have He reconciled, exchanged in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before Him. If so be that ye continue. See, that's based on the condition right there. If so be that ye continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. Oh, wow. And then Psalms 103:4 says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. I used to confess that daily for years. And so God is doing a good work in us, you know. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's the power of God in us. It's Jesus. The only way you can become a Christian and walk as a Christian walks is if the Lord's in you and you're allowing Him to manifest His life through you. It's Christ in you actually walking the Christian life. And so I'm going to close with that, David, and if any other brothers have any comments or whatever.
I think Michael Hare has some words to share with you next. He's here in Tennessee with us now, and so is Paul, and so is Frank. Frank's moved over here, too, at least for now. And so we're having a blessed time over here. Really awesome. So go ahead and share something with us, Michael. Appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah, we are having an awesome time over here now. That was an awesome word that Paul gave, and I just wanted to add just a little bit to it, is that we're all, as the word says, we're childs of Abraham and childs of God, and that all the benefits of the kingdom we have through the covenant. And one of those benefits is that we have the right to be delivered of the demons and the right to cast out those demons. And all believers can do that. And I know that there's some people out there that specialize in that regard, but I'm telling you right now that all you have to do is believe. Just believe. And Brother Frank and I were talking about that almost all day today. Even a baby Christian can cast out a demon. It's been told us, and we should be doing it. Jesus spoke in Matthew 12:43. He said, "But the unclean spirit, when he's gone out of the man, passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and findeth it not." And then he said, "I will return unto my house when I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself 7 other spirits more than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man becometh worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this evil generation." Well, what generation was he talking about? He says in verse 39, he said, "But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation that seeketh after a sign." So he was talking about the apostate Christians, let's just put it that way. And that's no different back then than it is now. What we all have in the new covenant is that we can cast out, and he said the signs will be following those, all of us, when we have the faith. And our faith that we have imputes righteousness from God, and our faith in what the Lord has already done is the only thing we need. That's the only thing we need to conquer demons, also to conquer the flesh. And that's why we can boldly exercise faith whenever we need to. And as a child of God, we can always come against demons, and demons come against God's people. And just as Jesus walked in the day that he walked, he never turned them away. He never turned people away who were sick, who were bound up with demons. And he said that he healed them all and cast out their spirits of infirmity. And it, that's the same way we have it today. We have that same power. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, "The Father has given me power over all, are giving me authority over all the power of the enemy." And then over in Luke chapter 10, he said, "I'm going to give that authority to y'all." And I'm kind of paraphrasing in my words, but that authority Jesus gave us over all the power of the enemy. That's a powerful, powerful authority that he's given it. And so all we need to do is just have faith to believe. And as Brother Frank and I were talking today, is just believe, just go on and believe it. And you get that blessing of freedom when you believe. God's going to back up his word, and he's going to do exactly what the word says. And if you're abiding in Christ and you're doing all you know to do in your walk with Christ, you have the benefits of all the blessings in heaven available to you. We have that promise of the Spirit through faith. And faith is the condition, and it doesn't matter where you are. God has given that gift of faith to all. He said, I've given you all a measure of faith. And it's all a gift from God. And all we have to do is just exercise that faith. And he says, these signs shall accompany them that believe. So we have a right to administer God's deliverance. But Jesus said, he also said this. He said, according to your faith be it done unto you. And it's very important that we believe, enter into those benefits of the blessings. Now, David, that's about all I wanted to say. I just wanted to tell people that we all have that measure of faith and just exercise it, just believe. It's like turning on a switch.
Amen. And you know, I was reminded when you started speaking there of Psalm 149, it says, this honor have all of his saints. And, you know, anybody, any Christian. I was a baby Christian when I didn't know anything about deliverance. I didn't know all the fine points about it or anything, but God honored my faith, and I was casting out demons. And, you know, it says that let a two-edged sword be in their hand to execute vengeance upon the nations and punishment upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron. No matter what you who you think these are, at least in one way, these are the demons that rule over this world. He says, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all of his saints. You know, Jesus said about his disciples, he said to his disciples, he said, you go and you make disciples, and you teach them to observe all things that I commanded you. So anything that Jesus spoke to his disciples in here, it is commanded you if you are a disciple. In Matthew 18, he spoke to his disciples. And one thing he told them, in verse 18, he says, verily I say unto you, that what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So therefore, Jesus spoke this to you. He spoke this to his disciples first, but he told them to go and make disciples and teach them to observe everything I have told you. So now, Jesus is telling this to you. You have this authority. Even the least of his saints, this honor have all of his saints, even the least of his saints, has authority to cast out demons, just like they do to heal the sick. These signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. You have that authority, and you don't have to know everything about those demons. Don't let anybody deceive you about that. You don't have to know everything about them. You may get a word of knowledge. You may just be able to discern from watching and hearing someone that they have something seriously wrong that's not normal, and you think that it is some kind of bondage that they can't overcome, and that it's a demon. Well, that's good enough, and you don't have to understand anything but the symptoms. You know, you're looking at the symptoms, and you just command those symptoms to leave in the name of Jesus, and whatever demon's causing them. You don't have to know names. It's okay if they speak their names to you, or if you command them to speak their names and they do, it's okay. That's good. But you have authority over those demons, and you have authority to bind them, and you have authority to loose them. Basically, what it's saying there is tell them what you want them to do. You tell them what you want them to do. Don't just say, I bind you. We don't need bound up demons in people, do we? What he's saying there is you forbid them, and you permit them, and you tell them what you want them to do, right? Just think about that. That's the authority that the Lord gave unto you. And he said also in Luke chapter 10, he says, he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven, and behold, I have given you authority. Again, once again, he spoke this to his disciples, they spoke it to you. It's spoken right there on that page. It's spoken to you. And anything he spoke to them, he told them to give to us. Okay? Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. He gave us authority over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any wise hurt us. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fear of what they can do to you. If you do, of course, they can. But, I mean, you're giving them authority over you. But yet the Lord gives you authority over their power, over all of their power. Anything that they could do, you've got authority over that. You have authority to use their power, to forbid it, to permit it, whatever. You have that authority. Even the least of his saints has that authority. And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Now stop and think about that. You know, next time you're wrestling with the devil and crying out to God and whatever, you know, stop and think about this. Meditate on this. Meditate. What would you do if you had authority over the devil who is administering these situations around you? You know, what would you do? Well, okay, that's what spiritual warfare is. Okay, that's what it is. It's very simple. Some of them was asking, you know, teach us about spiritual warfare recently, you know. Well, that's spiritual warfare, to know you've got authority and to use it. That's what it is. And, you know, the verse that that Paul brought up first, I thought was pretty interesting. You know, stop and think about it. The children's bread. It's the children's bread. The Syrophoenician woman cried out to Jesus. Her daughter had a demon. And Jesus said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Well, he was saying casting out of demons is the children's bread. Some people say the children can't have demons. Well, then Jesus was totally wrong, because he said it was the children's bread that have their demons cast out. Stop and think about it. Why do people say such things that they don't know what they're talking about? Who was Jesus? He was not sent unto anybody but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Israel was God's people. They had a covenant. He was going to them to cast out their demons. You have to have direction of God to cast demons out of anybody else. In this case, this woman, you know, exercised faith, and she was accounted as righteous, just like it's spoken in the New Testament. And the Lord gave it to her. You know, she cried out to the Lord. She showed faith, even at the resistance that Jesus was showing to her. She didn't let that overcome her, and she overcame, and she got what she asked for. Praise be to God. And so, you know, we know from a lot of Scripture that the people that Jesus was casting demons out of was the people of God, not the lost. They didn't have a covenant, didn't have a right, just as he's saying here, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she very persistently, which is what he wanted to see if she would be, said, yeah, Lord, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the demon is gone out of thy daughter. It was impressive to him that she wasn't going to be turned away. She was going to be persistent. She was going to exercise faith. She believed in the very nature of who God is, you know, that he loved and he would deliver. Oh, praise be to God. Now, in Colossians 1:13, the Bible says he delivered us out of the power of darkness. It's already been done. It's not a matter of you having to search it out. It's already been done. And he told us in Luke 1:71, he says, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. That's what he provided right there. He told them that in Luke 1 and 71. In 74, he said, to grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, should serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And we have been guaranteed deliverance, just like we're guaranteed healing. Oh, praise be to God. And God is faithful to His Word. He made these promises to us to make sure that we would be confident in Him. And, Matthew 8, I'm going to read that to you. I'm going to read 16. It says, "And when even was come, they brought unto Him many possessed with demons, and He cast out the spirits with the word, and He healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities." Notice it says our. Our infirmities. "And bear our diseases." Who is that? The covenant people he's talking about, you know. We are the ones that have a right to deliverance, you know. Don't let anybody try to talk you out of this saying Christians can't have demons. That is ridiculous. Who in the world was Jesus casting them out of? And who, I mean, these people don't know anything about deliverance. They've never cast demons out if they're saying that. They don't know anything about it. They've never had a discerning of spirits either. You know, the people that believe that permit all kinds of demons in their midst because these are Christians. They can't have demons. This false revival movement came right into the midst of the Assembly of God because of that false doctrine that they have about Christians not having demons, for goodness sake. I mean, look at their leaders, how many of them have fallen away, and they were full of demons, for goodness sake. And, of course, hey, they didn't do anything with them and couldn't help them because, well, we don't believe that they can have demons, you know. And, of course, these demon-possessed people could come into their midst and manifest all these demonic manifestations because they didn't believe Christians could have demons. What a deception. What can it open you up to, you know? I just praise God that some people have more sense than that, and they can see it. Anybody in the midst who has a discerning of spirits, who actually sees spirits, you can see Christians with demons. And besides, the Bible says it over and over and over, you know, who it is that the Lord is casting demons out of. "Having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit." Ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So, it is your right to exercise this for any covenant person, including yourself. Sometimes people are in so bad a shape that you can't even get them to agree with you. You know, you just have to follow the Holy Spirit and give them, you know, I mean, the Lord is merciful. He's not going to condemn you for making any mistakes. If you cast demons out and that person doesn't continue to walk in the Lord, they'll come back, just as was read there in Matthew chapter 12. They came back. That generation, they came back worse. Jesus cast them out, and they came back. And I've sadly had the same experience of casting demons out, seeing them come back. If a person doesn't repent, after these demons come out, they don't appreciate what the Lord has done for them, quite often the problem will come back until they begin to value the things that they should be valuing. And this is a judgment from God upon them because they will not turn to Him and will not repent. We've been given dominion, and just as the Lord Himself was given dominion, He says it in Ephesians chapter 1. He says He was set far above all rule and authority and power, verse 21, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And He put all, there was no word things there, He put all in subjection. Look at all of what? All of these authorities, powers, dominions, He put all in subjection under His feet, and He gave Him to be the head. So it's not talking about Jesus. He's the head. Who's the feet? Well, as you read on, of course, we know that in all things to the church, which is His body. So that the church has His feet. He's the head. The church has His feet. And these principalities and powers and dominions are all put under the feet of the church. And the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Oh, praise be to God. God is good. You know, He's made all provision for us to be free. He's made all provision for us to be free. And, you know, if you know someone in your family, you don't have to go and look for somebody that necessarily has all the discernment and understanding about deliverance. You don't have to be perfect in your understanding about deliverance. Just know that you know, a few verses will help you to understand that the Lord Jesus gave you authority over all the power of the enemy. And so you know that you're not under the curse. You know that your family's under you, and so they're not under the curse. You can exercise authority. All right? Amen. So, Frank, you have something to share?
Yes, Brother. About faith, truth, Brother and I today, we discussed and went in details in faith and how it operates and how it's given to us. And faith is, Brother, listen carefully because I'm quoting Scripture. I'm not talking, you know, of my own thoughts or how we should operate in faith. Faith is something that's given to us. Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God and understanding, receiving the truth. Faith is a difficult thing for you and I to measure. You know, the Bible declares that the only way to measure faith is by doing good works, not of our own self, by faith in God's Word. When I see a person and see their good works by faith and obedience to the will of God, and what faith will manifest, Satan cannot. He cannot duplicate faith because there's no faith in him. He can do it through deception. And the Bible declares that. He can work signs and lying wonders. But true faith is given to us to do the works of God in a world of evil, especially in the last days and these terrible times that are coming upon us. I'm not ministering doom to you. I'm just quoting the Scripture to you. It says the time of the end, these terrible times would come on the earth, and they're around us now. But our good works, by faith in Christ Jesus, it'll give us patience, brother. We ask God to give us patience. If we obey His commandments and keep the faith, faith works patience in us. What it says in James, I believe. And faith works by love. You have to have love in you. And to love the commandments of God, to keep them, to have faith. Faith is something that's not difficult. It's something you receive by hearing the Word and the truth. And let me open my notes here. And keeping the commandments of God, and that brings faith. And
if we have boldness towards God, we know that it's ours. We're confident in Him, you know. And if our heart condemns us not, we have that boldness, He said. So, amen. Go ahead, Frank.
Without faith, you know, the Scripture says, David, it's impossible to please God because He gives us a measure of faith when we accept Him. And just, He said, just an amount is a grain of mustard seed. The seed is known to man, I suppose. He said you could speak to the sycamore tree and uproot it and plant it in the depths of the sea with just that much faith. But great faith comes by hearing and obeying God. We have to keep His commandments. It gives us, when I say we have to, love compels us to keep His. If we love Him, then we'll keep His commandments, and that increases our faith. And when we see the mighty works, like I shared with you, we keep the works of faith. That increases my faith. God honors faith in us, David. And if we want to please God, and we can overcome the enemy, any obstacle through faith, it'll move mountains for us, like I just mentioned. And all of this works through our love and compassion for our Father through Christ Jesus that paid the ultimate price for us that we can do these works in His name. Matter of fact, people say, you think my own brother, before he went home to be with the Lord, told me one day before he was converted, he said that no one is perfect. I said, no man is perfect, but when we become in being created in the image of Christ, then we're created in the image of Jesus. We're being perfected. That is, perfecting us means we're becoming perfect. And so let's strive for that. And God's given us faith to do all things through faith, through His Word that will strengthen us, David, that we can walk in His power and not be frightened or afraid of the things that's in the world or coming on the earth. Because just this week since I've been here, back here in Tennessee, and I feel so at home, brother, I'm just at rest. And the Lord began now speaking to me how that those that are walking in faith, the truth of the Word, that we're going to speak the Word and the Word only, and the Spirit of the Word is going to conquer the kingdom, brother. And I'm excited, brother and sister, what the Lord is doing today, because we are the called out ones for this generation. We were foreordained from the foundation of the world. The Word tells us that, Brother David, that the manifested sons, the sonships would come and on this hour. They were foreordained and foreknew. God knew us before the foundation of the world. He knew them. And that's why He sent an angel to me some years back when I was struggling, trying to make my petition and request made known to Him what I really truly, He knew that I loved Him with all of my heart and desired. And one day amongst a multitude of people, here come this person, and the scriptures in Hebrews says that we should not get to entertain strangers. For in times we entertain angels unaware, and I know that angels have been sent to me for on a few occasions that when I desperately needed their help and had to have their help. And but then, brother, you and I, we have the Word of God in us, and we're going to begin to speak this Word. This Word, the Spirit of the Word, the Scripture says, will subdue nations, will bring them. And that is the message for the end time. Be full of the truth of God and the faith of God in His Word and walking and rooted and grounded in it and not being, entertained with the things of the world. Brother, this is an awesome time, David, we're living in now.
Amen. You know, the Bible, you know what Frank said about the coming manifestation of the sons of God and the wonderful mighty works that they're going to do and all these things. Well, guess what? You're all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That gives you the position of a son of God. Not necessarily the manifestation, but the position of a son of God when you walk by faith, because you're looking in the mirror and you're seeing Jesus. And that faith is accounted as righteousness. And the babyest Christian has authority over the demons. You just
That's
need
right.
to remember that. You got that authority. You will be chasing demons if you know that you have that authority. That's the important thing. If you know it, I'm telling you, the demons know it. If you got faith, they know it. Don't matter how young you are in the Lord. It just matters that you're a son of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And that faith will bring you to that position, you know. Praise be to God. He gives you authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Oh, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember this when you're faced with people and problems and so on and so forth. You don't need to go run and look for somebody. You're it. You're finding yourself at that place, at that moment, for a good purpose, you know. Speak the word of faith, and God will back you up all the way, you know. And honestly, yeah, go ahead.
Her good works won't save us. Faith in her works in Jesus Christ is by the grace of what Jesus did at the cross for us. That's what saves us. But he puts in us the will to do and faith to do his good pleasures and to keep his commandments.
Amen. Amen. Oh, praise you, Father. Go ahead,
Father. Don't miss your good works that you do on your own. It's going to save you. No, your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross, and your faith in him and believe him and obey him, keep his commandments, and then that establishes you, and you are born again of the Spirit. He told Nicodemus that. Nicodemus come to him and asked him, how can a man be born once he's born of, from the natural birth? Jesus told him plainly, said, that which is born of spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Spirit reproduces spirit in us. The Spirit of God puts spirit in us, and then our spirit become one with him. And then the flesh, all it can produce is reproduced flesh. In the body of Christ, in the kingdom, this word, the word says that there is neither male or female in the kingdom of God. But in the natural, they are male and female because it has to be like that to reproduce and bring forth flesh, your children. And it's even they have to be accept Jesus Christ because we were begotten in iniquity and brought forth in sin. We must acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior to escape this. Because, again, I say, our flesh reproduces flesh. Our spirit, the Spirit of God, reproduces our spirit, manifested in us. And, brother, that, we're going to be judged. My faith, I judge it by my good, not my good works that I do, but by the goodness that the Lord works through me. Now, you know, I never, when God works, I've seen some mighty miracles that God has done. Even, you know, people consumed with cancer, they fall off of you. They're spirits, and they're consuming spirits. But we have the power through faith in the Word of God and love for Him. Love works all things, David. You know this. If we love Him, we keep His commandments. If we love Him, He reveals the secrets of our hearts. What we couldn't understand if he didn't reveal them to us. And that's my priority and my love for God, that he, in this last day, that he is revealing the things that's coming concerning the works of his hand. And just like you and I, David, and other brothers and sisters, you call me and said, what does the Lord give you? Well, nothing is it. What is he giving you? Well, we're studying. We get back together a few minutes before the program. It's more happened more than once, several times, David. I said, well, I'm just now reading in a certain chapter and verse. Yes, I've just finished that. And that's how the Spirit of God's working in the same time. We'll be walking, seeing eye to eye. The same Spirit working in me. We wouldn't have to say a word. We'll know what's going on. And that is the gift of God through His divine power and love that we have for Him and faith in Him. Now, faith in our good works, we have to do the works that, as Jesus said, he did the works that that the Father gave him to do. And Jesus tells us greater things that we can do if we are filled with his Spirit, that he's sent his Spirit in us, to be in us, to do these works out of ourselves. But they all work through love. And I was going to mention a little bit about idols too, you know, that we need. My mind goes back to the in Exodus when Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4-6, these graven images that these people thought they were serving thank God that God spoke, showed us different. We don't have to have any golden images in. So I don't wear anything pertaining. I don't even want a picture of, you know, on the wall. You know, he said, have no images that from heaven that, you know, that we should worship. We should worship the Lord thy God and him only. These images doesn't help us at all. It hinders you. And if you're reading Exodus 20 there, like I just shared with you, this children, we should have no other image or gods before us. We have one God and one Lord and Savior, and one Spirit. And when we become one with him, then we're in total pact with our Lord and Savior.
Over in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Brother Frank, he says, he's not ashamed, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You have to believe.
That's true.
In verse 7, yeah. And then he says in verse 17, for therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live from faith.
That's
faith,
true.
Is the key word there, isn't it?
That's right. Faith is the key word of love. You can't get saved without faith. You can't accept Jesus Christ because he gave every one of us a measure of faith. He put in us a measure of faith, and that faith increases by what we learn and know about Jesus Christ. It increases our faith. And I never, when I first began to see God work miracles, I watched intensely. But after a while, when the Word began to speak to me, the Holy Spirit speaking to me, it's just a miracle with God. He's just speaking faith to any obstacle, any affliction.
Amen.
This is something that you've been around me enough now to know. I never call on God to do anything. I speak it in his name. His name is the word. I speak the word against the afflictions. Even today, I've seen God work, if you want to call it, to the miracles. I believe you were there at one time.
Amen. Yeah, I sure was. Yeah.
And so it's just if faith moves mountains. The faith of the word, the power of the word that we speak in faith, it does the work. It works through us. We're just the vessel. Jesus says, without me, you could do nothing for the kingdom. You could do no good mighty works. It'd all be in vain. You get things God in breath.
Let me read Matthew 10 and 5, Jesus' commands to his disciples when he sent them out, when he gave them authority.
Yes.
Does he give that to us? Yes, he does. You
remember
the verse I shared with you that, he told them to go forth and make disciples and teach them to observe everything that Jesus told them. So, and here Jesus told them something. He said, these 12 Jesus sent forth, and he charged them, saying, go not in any way of the Gentiles, and enter not into any city of the Samaritans. Why? Because these weren't the people of God, right? Because people of God are the ones that have this benefit, this kingdom. You know, when you preach the gospel to someone and they believe, then they are entitled. That's all they need to do is believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and he's done with what the Bible says he's done. He's taken away their sins. You know, when they believe, then they are entitled from that moment on to have all the benefits of the kingdom, you know. It's not to say that the Lord won't sometimes cause you to cast demons out. You know, there was a soothsaying made, you know, that the demons were cast out. It doesn't say that you went on to know God. But in that case, the apostle was just defending himself and the kingdom, you know. So it can be done. You know, it's pointed out that the Lord does do this. And sometimes the Lord uses us to do this, and people are very appreciative, and they turn to the Lord when they find out that the Lord has done this for them. But in this case, he's telling them, don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to the Samaritans, because, obviously the Samaritans, too, were people who were placed there by the beast kingdom after the true northern ten tribes were taken captive. And these, of course, weren't what we would call Christians today. They were Christians in name only. And so, basically, he's talking about going, not going to these people, but going to the covenant people, right? And verse 6 says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he wasn't really praising them much by calling them lost sheep, because they had gone astray, but they still had a covenant with God. And so God was going to offer to them his benefits first. And then he said, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Of course, that's a good word of faith. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You tell people that, hey, look, you don't need to look any further. The Lord is here. His kingdom is here. He's here to do what you need done. And he said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Notice that. Freely you have received. What did you receive? Well, the authority to cast out demons. And then freely give. And what is that? The deliverance of that they need, right?
Absolutely.
And so, this authority have all of his saints. He said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. So remember that, and trust that the Lord has put this authority in you to do this. He wants to use you to do this. You know you have authority in your families. You know you have authority over anyone that God has put under your authority, even an elderly parent or a friend or anybody that's in your house that you have been given authority to take care of them or whatever, your children, you have authority there always to do this. And so, exercise your authority, stand firm on it. You don't have to see anything. Many people make that mistake. They stand around waiting to see something happen when they command it. You don't have to do that. You just have to know that when you command it, it has to be done because you have authority. A person that doesn't know they have authority, they're the one standing around all the time waiting to see if anybody's listening. they got to listen if you know you got authority. So you just speak it in the name of Jesus and go on. Don't spend the rest of your life worrying about watching somebody, It's like when I was first came into the Pentecostal church, and they were saying, you had to pray through to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they wanted to watch you and make sure you spoke in tongues. Well, I didn't see any faith in that. And I learned that that's not really faith at all, And they were waiting to see the manifestation before they would believe they received. But Jesus said that all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. And so when you speak, it's the same thing. If you know that your words have authority, you don't have to worry about it no more. You just go on about your business, And I know that everybody doesn't have that faith, and some people do stand around and do that, and they have some results, too. And praise God for that, We give thanks unto God for all that he does, Even in our ignorance, we give praise to God. And we're merciful, and we don't judge one another over these things. But it's nice to... It's nice to understand that you don't have to stand around and wait for something to happen. And then you'd have to stand around for the next person and the next person and the next person, And you might be there a week trying to get some deliverance instead of exercising faith and going on about your business, So just trust in God and know that it has to be done, Be bold about it, confess him before men, lots of people want to hide out and do deliverance, but sometimes the Lord just wants you to confess him before men, speak it boldly in the name of Jesus, and expect that your words have the weight of Jesus, behind them, you know. Praise God.
Hey, David.
Right, brother? Yes.
You know, just to give a confirmation of what you just said, just the last few days ago, we had Vicky's mom and stepdad over, and her mom's saved, but her dad's not at this moment. And anyway, I went through a physical problem. Me and my wife actually did. And, you know, I'm just like everybody else, you know. Anytime I usually feel a symptom, I just rebuke it. But this time when I rebuked it, God, it's almost like the Lord allowed it to happen for a testimony. And so like on Friday night, I mean, all day Friday, I was just, my nose was dripping. I was like a running faucet. And so, and me and my wife were just confessing our healing to them, and that we were healed. And of course, they were pitying us in a sense, you know, in the only way they knew how, and they didn't understand why we weren't, you know, going down the street and getting medicine and all that. They were telling us about medicine that would dry that up and all that. We just confessed the word of God. I just said, well, you know, I believe that the Lord Jesus has already healed me. And so they weren't really understanding some things, but that night, you know, I just made a bold confession. I said, tomorrow I'm not going to, I said, the Lord healed me, and it's going to manifest where I won't have no drippy nose and all that. And so it was kind of interesting because he said something. He said, well, looks like you'll be healed tomorrow, you know. So the next day when I woke up, guess what? No drippy nose. And so just confessing, you know, the word of God to people, you know, and you know, Jesus is our mediator, and he's confessing us to the Father when we're confessing his word. So we saw that testimony, and Vicky was, you know, she was real bold and said that she was healed, and she was starting to feel good. I was feeling good the next day, and God was manifesting our healing the next day, and so we just give him all the glory. So the Lord sometimes sets us up, you know, to show his glory, you know, and so we just trust in him and go through a trial of our faith. That's okay. That's what I was going through, and that's what I realized real quick. And sometimes it's uncomfortable, you know. I didn't look well. I didn't, you know, talk well. But as far as I was concerned, I was healed. And I believe the good report, and God manifested it, and also manifested for my wife, too. So, praise God.
Well, we had a testimony today, too, David. Sandy came in, asked Brother Frank to pray for her ankles and her feet. They were swollen and in pain. And Brother Frank laid his hands on her and commanded that thing to go and the pain to go. And pain went. The swelling went down immediately. And Sandy went in there and laid down and went to sleep just as soundly as she could for a while. So that was a blessing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Brother Frank?
Indeed, brother. Faith works. My faith works through love and compassion for the Father. And, you know, when you believe a thing, it's impossible. You hear me say this, and it is. The Word of God backs you up. He said, it shall happen. It shall be done, given you. And that's why I say it's impossible for not. Immediately, when you speak to a thing, her ankle, it was really swollen and puffy, and right in my hand, I rebuked that pain and what was causing the pain, the affliction that was there, and immediately it had to go. Do I take credit? No. It's the Word of God, the power He gives us to speak His Word, as David was just now ministering to you. Speak the Word and the Word only in faith, and it'll increase your faith. My faith was given to me because of love and the works that I enjoyed doing the will of the Father. I loved it. I wanted to please Him. And not in self-righteousness, but I just love Him so much. And still do. And that whatever we ask in faith, it will happen. And she had a fluid. It felt like I went right up on her under her ankle, and I just reached down, and the Lord always lets me put my thigh. You don't have to tell me where you hurt, but where it's at. The Spirit knows, and then I obeyed, and I felt that, and it went away immediately. Looked up, and she had a smile on her face, the sister did, and she said, I'll go sleep now. She couldn't rest. Mm-hmm. Went and slept for quite a while. But anyway, it's power in speaking the word of God in faith. And faith, it works through love and compassion. Yeah, that's the way it works for me. And without that works, you can't earn your way through good works of your own deeds and trying. I don't try to have faith. I just let it manifest. I won't quench the Spirit of God, and that increases faith. He puts a thought in my mind, I'll speak it, and I flow in the Spirit. So am I lifting myself up? No. I humble myself before the Lord, and he'll increase and lift us up. Okay, brother. You have anything to add? David, anyone?
Yeah, I've got one little thing there that you got done. Back in the spring, we prayed for Sammy to pick up a musical instrument and start playing it. I don't know, it was back in the summer, I guess, when it was. We were back in Arkansas. And that young man has picked up that guitar, and he's playing it, man, just like he owns it. I'm telling you, the power of prayer and faith works.
Yes.
Amen.